2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. We're headed down the home stretch, final half hour, and I didn't want to wrap up without getting a little more detail because we were fairly limited with the access to the guys while they were on the river last week, the guys and gals. There were 17 of you, right, Navi?
That's correct, 17. Yeah, I was the old guy.
Big bunch. By the way, thanks for that video. You mentioned it briefly, that video of the bear encounter that you had while you were floating by. That was great.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at my phone, and somebody, well, one of the persons on our trip, I didn't notice, filmed me going down that slide with the raft.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can see how hard it is to enter the river.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, it's on my Instagram. I mean, Mike Navidomskis, people who don't know, my name is Mike.
Yeah, right.
Mike Navidomskis, and there you are.
Yeah. For those that have not seen the video, and I haven't posted it yet, but I do want to put it on our Facebook, I bring it up, the bear thing, because one of those that was along with you, a buddy of Mickey's, actually is in the bear business, isn't he?
Yes. He works for the state of Montana. He's the, apex predator biologist. He basically does the grizzlies, checks on their health, collars them, tracks them.
I bet he had stories to tell on this trip every night, didn't he?
You know, no, because nobody has any room when I'm talking.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I thought that's what Gail was supposed to do, was keep you in line.
I'm kidding. No, he was a more of a quiet man, but I did have a good discussion with him about, you know, the process of capturing these bears so they can, you know, test them and how you do it. And he told me a lot of stuff. It was pretty interesting.
That's cool. And then his wife is a fish biologist, if I remember
right. Right. She actually did her master's at Utah State, but she did her PhD at Montana State, and she is a fish biologist. And she just finished a big study on the paddlefish of the Missouri, which are still there.
One thing we did not get much of a chance, and Russ, I don't think you've had a chance unless you got online to listen to the segments this past week. We didn't get a chance really because we lost our connection to talk much about the fishing, although both you and Mickey said it was better than advertised.
Oh, yeah. You know, everything I read about this river, going way back when I was a young man, fishing's very mediocre. You can catch a few in the tributaries, but not, you know, it was exceptional. And I think the reason why it doesn't get that kind of a reputation is because the kind of people who go to this river are whitewater enthusiasts. They're really terrible anglers if they angle at all. And I think that's the reason. And we had the opposite scenario. We had some rabid fly fishermen who were going to try to do the whitewater.
Pretending to be whitewater rafters.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. The guys, I know Mickey and Finn were hoping to be able to find some bull trout. I guess that didn't happen.
No, though, we caught six.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we were only throwing dries. And bull trout, their forage is not dries. In fact, Yusuke Yamanaka, which is Mickey's friend from Japan, from Tokyo, he was on my boat. And, of course, he loaded up with fish because I'm rowing, right?
Yeah.
And so what happened to him... Hang on, the TV came on a roll.
Oh.
anyway, so he's bringing in about a 17-inch cutthroat, right? And then all of a sudden he goes, there's two, and sure enough, there was one chasing, and it was a 25-inch bull trout.
Wow.
Bit onto his cutthroat, and he was fighting both of them for a while.
Oh, my gosh. Did you have all the right equipment for what you needed? The rafts and everything work out okay?
Yeah, and the groovers weren't that bad. And, you know, I mean, I was feeling groovy every morning at the right time. And,
yeah.
And we put them in places that had amazing views.
Yeah.
But But they all put him on my raft. You know, the old man, what's he good at? Well, duct tape specialist and tying. I use ropes. I bring all my ropes. They have these straps. I don't know. I use ropes, and I tie everything down. And for whatever reason, I got all the groovers. But they didn't want him to tip over, so I tie him well. I mean, I tie everything down with all my knots. I was doing my knots everywhere, and I found out that's all I'm worthy now. It's just...
Well, my take was that they knew you already smelled bad. They might as well give you the groovers as you head down the river. Russ, do you have any actual groover experience in your life, running rivers?
Yeah, I mean, sitting on
an actual groover?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of floats I had to use groovers. We were floating down the Green, headed down to Desolation Canyon on the flat section of the Green, and we're rolling down, and there's camps along the way, and we could see this young lady, probably in her early teens, behind the bushes, and all we saw was from her shoulders up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea that she was on a groover.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And bunch of guys, it was scouts, like four boats of scouts going down the river. nobody, they just kind of waved and kept going. She waved back. And as we came by, a roll of toilet paper rolled down the beach.
Yeah. Telltale sign.
We didn't say a word.
Yeah. Here's what I learned from my run down Cataract Canyon many years ago, Navi, is there is no ammo box big enough, really, to make it comfortable.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, it was better than I thought. And speaking of Desolation Canyon, a lot of people don't know this, but my wife, Gail, worked for Western Rivers, and she was a guide for a number of summers on those river runs. And she's a very capable rower, but she said it was a little too powerful for her. The current was just too tough, and you have to switch back and pull.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of – it's like a jigsaw puzzle getting down these rapids, and – it was rapids she wasn't used to. They're not Cataract or Desolation Canyon rapids.
Well, and you sent me a video of people that didn't navigate it well, and some of those, I think I'd get out and walk around and let somebody else do the work.
Yeah.
You know, we all found them challenging and really fun and exciting, but it was very, very technical rowing. I mean, like they say, what's the beta, which the kids say, I don't know, it means intel or something. But what they do is the beta on this, enter center right, move left quick, go down right tube, hard right to the other side. I mean, that's what they all are. And basically, I kind of get to them, and I stand up, and I have a look, and I go, hold on, baby.
I don't
know the beta. I'm just going.
She's trusting of you. Becky gives me that same trust when she gets on the back of the motorcycle with me, so I can appreciate that. Wasn't Drew standing on the rock sort of screaming out the directions to you as you came through?
What, did you get that on video or something?
No, you told me. I thought you told me something about that.
Well, I don't know what I told you, but I do know that Mickey and Drew went under. They flipped on early morning day two, and she was pretty traumatized because the radio call came out, Mickey Drew tipped. So I put my raft out in the middle of the river, and I saw her coming at me. She was first, and she had a terrible look on her face. She was not enjoying this.
Yeah.
So I was going to go get her, but one of the kids, pretty talented little athlete, threw one of those ropes literally clear across, and she grabbed on, and they drug her out. And then I was able to stop their raft, which was upside down, and when we turned it back over, both oars were broken in half.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we used my walking stick and four tent poles and a whole lot of duct tape.
That MacGyver. We saw some of that when we made our trip down the Kinnick-Tock in Alaska.
Yeah.
I just love hearing these stories, and to know that you did it with your boys and your wife there, just fantastic. Glad everybody made it back. I'll tell you what, though, we got to take a break because when we come back, we're going to hopefully check in with Roger Egger from Bear River Lodge, sponsor of this program. And we'll wrap up the week, so stay right there.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up the program this week and turn things over to Tana Maria for another edition of The Greenhouse and the continued countdown to Big 12 Cougar football with Mitch and Matt coming up at noon today. I need to check in with Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge, and just to give a little, you know, insight on what happens before we start to chat and record for our segment here on the air. Roger and I spend a matter of, I don't know, sometimes 15, 20 minutes chasing our tails trying to figure out what we talk about what we talk about that day. And since it's going to be triple digits for four straight days here this weekend, what does he want to talk about? Winter. All right. I'm hanging on your every word, hoping you can bring some cooler air with just talking about it.
Good morning, Tim. And so when you said, what do you want to talk about? I want to remind you that we're melting away in this heat. 5 weeks ago, the Mirror Lake Highway was closed because it was snowpack.
Isn't that something?
That's incredible. 5 weeks ago, we had too much snow on the Mirror Lake Highway to drive it.
Well, and here's the other thing. If you start looking ahead and, you know, looking at averages, which I know averages have been way out of bounds here for conversations when it comes to weather in Utah and around the rest of the country. But if you start looking at averages, the first snowfall actually for the new season is only probably 8 weeks away, something like that.
I can tell you this, of my 26 years at Bear River Lodge, more than a handful of times we've had snow in September. So we're only a month away from snow. Yeah. It is crazy.
I know. But when you talk winter, you, of course, are talking about snowmobiling, and I can't believe you're even doing that. But what's on the front of your mind today?
Well, we were out in the yard. You know, we're trying to we buy brand new equipment every year. So we buy over 100 pieces of equipment, snowmobiles, side-by-sides, ATVs, snow bikes, everything. We were out moving the snowmobiles this week, and I thought, oh my goodness, we might be getting these out in 8-10 weeks, you know, to go snowmobiling. Mm-hmm. And it's just so funny, and we're 100 degree weather. But with the new cabins that we have, these big 7-bedroom cabins, we need to let people know now, hey, if you want to get a big group together for winter, now is the time to do it. We're already taking reservations for this winter, but it was kind of hit me funny that we're taking reservations for next summer already. People are booking these large groups 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months in advance. So if you want to put together a group to come snowmobiling, now is the time. Get on the calendar and get your schedule together, and let's get you a group and get you out on the snow, because it is fun and it is coming.
Boy, that is such a great point. And as a matter of fact, we're recording, by the way, in advertising here. We're recording on Friday, which we usually do for your enjoyment to listen as live here on Saturdays. But we were talking on Utah's Morning News this morning about the fact that so many people are traveling. Like, it's crazy the number of people. And you just got back from a flight down to L.A. But I haven't been on a flight to or from any of the glory events in Europe that have not been full in both directions. So it makes sense that people are making their plans now to make sure that they don't run into a lack of reservation space or a lack of flights or a lack of machines. It is time to start thinking ahead, because I think this pent-up desire to get out and be active in things they missed through the pandemic is really going full speed.
Yeah, you know, and the out-of-staters are coming to Utah, truly. And I know most of our listeners here are locals, but today we checked out side-by-sides to a big group from Connecticut. Tomorrow, a group from California has every single cabin we have available. I think they're taking 12 of the 18 cabins tomorrow, a group from California. So people are traveling into the state and enjoying the outdoors. We need to get up into the UNAs and enjoy them. They're spectacular.
Yeah, it's crazy, because you could actually be at the cabins, if you live along the Wasatch Front, you could be at the cabins in about the amount of time it takes a California bunch to fly in here from L.A.
Oh, yeah, or less. An hour and a half from downtown Salt Lake, and you're up in the UNAs. And that's this group from Connecticut called me. They're working at Hill Air Force Base, and they said, hey, we want to go riding. Where can we go? And I said, come up. We're only an hour and a half from, hour and 40 minutes from Ogden. You can be here. You know, we spoke on Wednesday. And they came up today, bought a big group of contractors, and they're out enjoying the beautiful outdoors. They're going up to Elizabeth Ridge, and they're going to Lim Lake and Lily Lake, and just going to have a spectacular day on the machines. And if you haven't done that, and if people haven't enjoyed the Uintas and the Mirror Lake Scenic Byway, they need to get up here because it is absolutely spectacular. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. And we were talking about all that precipitation that's really made those meadows beautiful up in the Christmas Meadows area, I am sure. You may not know the answer to this, but do you think you're going to be renting snow bikes again this year?
Yes, we already have our order in. So snow bikes are so much fun, and people don't get it. We get the Yamaha YZ450FX, so it's a big supercross bike, basically. Take the wheels off, put a ski on the front and a snow track on the back, and you just get to go plow through the snow and have fun on those. They are a lot of fun, and people, we get the same groups coming back now year after year. I think we've run them for 4 or 5 years, so they are popular and they're fun to do.
Well, and you'll be popping the wheels off of things like the Defenders, or is it the Commander, and putting tracks on those too?
Yeah, the Defenders, and that's, you know, getting old, that's my favorite. The six-passenger Defender, we take the wheels off, put on the tracks. They're brand new when we put the tracks on them. They have heaters. They seat six people. They have bench seats so you can slide in. You know, I take my mom and dad. You know, my dad's in a wheelchair, but we slide him in on the bench seat. I take all my grandkids and put them in there. They have heaters, windshield wipers. It's just like driving a fancy car right downtown. So those are so much fun to get out and enjoy the winter in.
Well, you took us straight from the 100-degree heat of summer to the cold of winter, but one of my favorite times to be up there actually is in the shoulder seasons, and the best of the best is coming up this fall with the changing colors and things, so let's not forget about that. But they can get information on reservations on all of those times by just going to the website.
Yeah, go to BearRiverLodge.com, and you are right. Come up in the fall. The animals are back. We've seen moose, elk, deer, and even antelope the last couple weeks, so it's fun.
All right. You know, I feel better already. It's actually cooler now since we talked about winter, I think. Anyway, we'll try and make the best of it. Roger Eggett, speaking of the best of the best humans, thanks for your time again today, buddy.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great week.
You too. All right. Greenhouse coming up next. Enjoy the next 3 hours with Tana Maria, helping to keep all things green from going yellow in all of this heat today. I'm back Monday morning starting at 5 with Utah's Morning News. Amanda Dixon will be along by my side, so look forward to having you join us then. Have a great weekend, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.